the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 771, as we read responsively from the 36th Psalm. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like mighty mountains, your judgments like a great deep. O Lord, humans and animals you save.
O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light.
O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright.
Good morning. What special Sunday is this? Something's going on. What is it? Palm Sunday. And you may have already talked about it in Sunday school, and we're certainly hearing about it already in church. So it's an exciting time, isn't it? It was the start of Holy Week. Did Holy Week turn out to be a great week for Jesus? No, it did not. But it started out all full of excitement, and people were so excited when Jesus came into Jerusalem. But later in that week, what happened to Jesus? He died, and then a week from today, what happens? He rises back up from the dead. That's exactly right. That's right. So how did Jesus come into Jerusalem? Was he on what? It was on a donkey. It was exactly on a donkey. Do you remember another story in the Bible where somebody comes in on a donkey and then something great happens after that? Haley? Mary and Joseph. Remember Mary came in to Bethlehem on a donkey and then what happened? She had baby who? Jesus, exactly. And so here we're nearing the end of Jesus' life and he is just as humble as he was when he was born. He's riding in on a donkey. Do kings usually come in on donkeys when they come into a town? No. What are they usually riding in? Well, if it's going to be a horse, it'll be a fancy one, won't it? Probably have silver or gold on its bridle, or maybe a big fancy carriage. Have you ever seen the Queen of England riding in a carriage and her son and his sons? Big fancy things with a lot of gold and fancy horses. Or a big limousine, right? A big fancy car. Well, Jesus wasn't on anything fancy. He was just on a donkey. And everybody was so excited to see him. And even the children were a part of it. And the children were doing what? Waving their palm branches. And people were putting their coats on the ground for Jesus to walk over. Do you think the people knew at that point what was going to happen to Jesus? No, they were just excited to see him because some of them had seen him before and heard him talk, and others had just heard about him, and they were so excited, and they ran along beside him shouting what? You've just been singing it. Hosanna. Can you shout now? Hosanna. Hosanna. Jesus is King. Say that. Jesus is King. Yay. Did you know that children were important to Jesus? Do you remember times in the Bible where the children were the main thing he was talking about? And a lot of times we get all excited and all the grown-ups are doing things and everything's all about the grown-ups. And the children are sometimes forgotten. But they were never forgotten to Jesus. He noticed them and he talked about them and they were special to him. And just as children were part of other stories that he had, they're part of this story too, waving their palm branches and shouting what? Hosanna. Say it like you mean it. Hosanna. That's exactly right. We are excited about it. So Jesus had children shouting Hosanna then, and what should we still be doing now that if you're old as I am or older? Still shouting Hosanna. It's something that you do your whole life, because if you believe in Jesus, then you're always singing, saying Hosanna, which just means praise. We're always praising him. Now, I've got a song I want us to sing that's it. In the hymnal on page 277, I want the congregation to help us too. When I was a child in a Methodist church in various places in Alabama and Florida, we sang this song a lot, and it was called the Children's Hymn because it's all about children and about Jesus and Jesus' relationship with the children. So this is an important hymn to me from my childhood. And if you can read, take one of these, and we're going to do just the third verse. It's number 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. So do you know how to follow on just the third verse, those of you who can read? Who else can read? Okay. Can you two share that one on just the third verse? But I want us all, I want the children to stand up, and if you can read and sing and wave your palm frond at the same time, let's do it. So just the third person, everybody help us. Tell me the stories of Jesus. Offering, which is a loose change offering that goes this month for Homeward Bound, which helps the homeless. Thank you. And then
while the children are taking up the bread tin offering, I'd like to call your attention to something that was in today's paper. Increasingly, I find people actually don't subscribe to the newspaper anymore. And so if you didn't get today's Asheville Citizen Times, I hope you'll find a way to get hold of a copy of it. We've got a wonderful article in there about Brian Combs and the Haywood Street Methodist Church. And I call this to everybody's attention for several reasons. One, a lot of people in this congregation know Brian. He's preached in our church. He preached here at Homecoming in the fall. He's a wonderful young Methodist minister, 35 years old. Second, he said that he was sort of lost and didn't know what he was going to do, and he found his way in life at Camp Tocoa, which is one of the things that we support both by sending some money and also by sending our children. And I hope if you've got little children, you'll consider sending them to Camp Tocoa. Third, because we also support the Haywood Street Methodist Church. Now, it's a campus of Central, but it is particularly for Asheville's most disadvantaged people, for the homeless, for the addicted, for the down and out. And finally, because Brian quoted one of my favorite Bible passages, which is the one where Jesus says to his disciples, You'll be rewarded in heaven and when you have clothed the naked and when you have fed the homeless and the hungry. And they said, when did we do this? And he says, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me. And Brian says that his mission is to the least of these. And I think that if you haven't had a chance to read that article, I hope you'll find it. I don't know if you can get it online without making your way through some kind of a firewall or something. But try to get hold of that because it's a very long article. It should make us all proud to be United Methodists and to be in mission and to be supportive of what's going on in that church and for what we do unto the least of these, my brethren. So please have a look at that.
Invite our ushers to come forward now. Stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
Great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for all that you have given us, and we ask that you accept these, our humble gifts, that they might go to your glory. For we offer them and ourselves in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And I invite you to turn to page 2 in your bulletin. And join with me as we pray together. Our prayer for illumination is printed there in about the middle of the page. Let us pray. True and humble King, as we hear your word proclaimed today, grant us the faith to know you and love you, so that we may be found beside you on the way of the cross. Amen. The rest of our service this day will follow a somewhat different format than normal. We'll have a short lesson followed by hymns and then a brief period of silence before we repeat the same process. Our choir will be sending us out, if you will, with some special music, Pieta, which is a very moving piece, and you're asked to depart in silence this day as we prepare ourselves for the events of Holy Week. I want to draw your attention to one thing that was inadvertently left out of the bulletin. For the second, third, and fourth lessons, we'll be singing just verses 1 through 2 of those. Let us worship our Lord as we hear again the story of his passion.
First lesson is from Matthew 26, 14 through 29. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You'll all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I'll strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I'm raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I'm deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away, and he prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once, he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you're here to do." And then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he'll at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching and you did not arrest me, but all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all of the disciples deserted him and fled. Sing verses 1 and 2 of number 371.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We continue with the first two verses of hymn 292.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented, and he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I've sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What's that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed. And he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It's not lawful to put them into the treasury since they're blood money." After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner, called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "What do you want me? Whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I've suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who's called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Well, why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Sing verses 1 and 2 of number 286.
After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry the cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In this same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last.
Thank you.
that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified. And they said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. And among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.